Wet those ear pussies, girl. Episode 9 of Secret Moonbase is happening right now. That's so awkward.
Did you really believe it when you said that?
I can never say girl. I think I wanted to say boys and girls. Wet those ear pussies, boys and girls.
That looks better.
Yeah.
Now I'm imagining ear pussies, and I'm happy.
Yeah. We're not editing this. All right. I am your host and Super Meat Boy Leaderboard King, Corduroy Turtle. Along with me, I have Dark Souls Historian and Sandwich Enthusiast, Newtaf.
Hey.
And, of course, also joining me in the studio is our pop culture expert and part-time Wendy's assistant manager, Occam's Electric Toothbrush.
Would you like fries with that?
I would. Can you Wendy size them for me?
I can Wendy size them.
Didn't they just change their like slogan or something recently? I feel like they changed it every other week.
Yeah, I think it's now Wendy's. We fuck in the bathrooms.
That's probably it, yeah.
Wet those mouth pussies.
I think yeah, really. Get those fries in you.
Put things in your throat, Wendy's.
Oh, man, that chili.
Is that an oh, man, good or oh, man, bad?
I can't really decide. It depends on how much beer I've had, and it depends on how much I need to clean my body.
It's kind of how I felt about the Doritos taco I ate the other day.
Was it just a Dorito shell? Was it just a giant-ass Dorito with taco shit in it?
It's the concept of a taco shell, but reimagined with only Dorito-like chip ingredients. So it crunches in a different way. You know, it's not as hearty as a typical shell.
Yeah.
And it's got way too much flavor powder all over it. Or too much for me. I had two of them. Maybe I should have only had one. But, it even comes with a little cardboard sleeve so you don't get Dorito fingers.
Well, that's thoughtful of them.
Sounds like they knew it was kind of a bad idea to begin with, so they had to give you a sheath. Fucking taco.
Taco sheath. It's the least they could do for tricking me into ordering that weird-ass thing.
Go ahead.
It just seems like it would get like soggy and weird easier than a regular taco.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
No, it was crispy the whole time. I mean, it's a chip. You have nachos and stuff. Those are just chips.
I imagine that, you know? And in my head, I haven't had one yet, but it must smell the same way that the comic book guy from Simpsons crotches smells. It really must. It's just bad.
Do you think he's got Dorito dust in his pubes?
I think he just has a natural Dorito dust smell coming off his cock.
Cock dandruff is like Cheeto dust.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
This is so hot.
Yeah, this is relevant to video games, too.
Video games.
It's a podcast about video games, in case you didn't know that. What have you guys been up to? Newt, what have you been playing this week?
Well, Dark Souls, of course, mm-hmm. as usual. I beat new game with my mid-level character, which was kind of fun. And I've continued to keep my character mid-level, and I'm playing through New Game Plus, getting it to the point where I can PvP with it. I spent literally 2 days on one particular boss called the Four Kings, which is, it's agreed that as you progress through the new games, I think there's apparently unlimited new games that you can play through.
That's
like
cool.
It just never stops. The enemies just keep getting harder and harder. This particular boss ends up being the hardest one in the game, harder than the final boss by far. And I believe it. I spent 2 whole days trying to beat it, and only with 2 other co-op buddies I was finally mm-hmm. able to last night. That was neat.
You said you're keeping it at mid-level, so is that making it harder?
Yeah. If I was at a higher level, I'd be able to get better magic, get more health, get more strength. Yeah, that would have made a big difference. One interesting thing happened last night. Somebody in the live stream chat suggested we have a tournament just on the spur of the moment. And so we did. So we hosted a tournament, and we got in maybe 30 or 40 awesome PvP duels in an area. For part of them, I was kind of the host. I summoned people in and let them fight against each other. And that was a lot of fun. It went on for quite a long time.
I thought you could only spawn in one person. You can spawn in two?
It turns out, you can either summon somebody for co-op, or you can summon somebody in for a duel. And in fact, you can summon in 2 people for a duel, and a third one can invade the world. So you can have the host plus three enemies at the same time.
Huh. So, that's kind of fucked up.
Well, I don't know. It's how. It's not that bad.
No, not fucked up in a bad way. It's just
oh
crazy that that many people can all invade your game.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And then I also played Journey, which I really loved, and I don't know how much we're going to talk about.
We can dabble. All
right. Well, we can dabble in it after we get to your games.
All right. What about you, Occam? I think I saw you playing something special.
Yeah. I well, first of all, I beat Asura's Wrath.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, which was a hell of a lot of fun. If you like anime and just ridiculous over-the-top shit, it's worth your time. It was very entertaining from start to finish, and yeah, I really loved it. There were multiple times in the game where things pierced the entire earth. Swords, like punches, energy blasts. It's that kind of game.
That even happened in the demo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun, so I highly, highly recommend that if you're just interested in kind of a fun, silly game. And I got Mass Effect 3.
Clock Yay! Finish.
Yay! White power. it's been fun. I'm like 4 hours in, maybe five, and I'm enjoying it. It's so hard to avoid spoilers, though. People seem really pissed off about this ending, and every third fucking article on Destructoid, at least in the C blog, is like about the ending. So I've been avoiding a lot of that. But I don't, regardless, good or bad. For me, it's really more about the journey than the ending. I really love kind of just the interactions with the characters and the world. And I got a new new squad mate who's really neat, but I'm not going to talk about them in case of spoilers for other people. And I like it. It's much prettier, too, than the old game. And, yeah, so I'm enjoying that. And, of course, Team Fortress 2, which I just got done playing before we started doing this.
I really got to download that.
You really should.
It's free.
Oh, yeah. I'd play it with you.
I have no excuse.
It's true. You don't.
I don't. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been playing a little more Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I finally found at least one character. I don't know if I mentioned that I'm playing as Law, but I've been practicing with him a little bit, and I played with Steezy, and I was beating Steezy with this character. So I have confidence that you know, I can build him up to something that he'll be part of my arsenal for sure.
Is Law the guy that like lies down on the floor and then kicks you and gets up?
No, that's Lei Wulong. He's one of the DLC characters that is apparently on my disc that I can't access, but he'll be in the game eventually. Law is the Bruce Lee knockoff.
Oh, okay.
He's got
Does anybody play as Hugo with that? I like Hugo.
I really want to, but I don't know. In this game, you know, in Marvel vs. Capcom, I can kind of make the big characters work. They seem to have a lot more range. Hugo is really strong, but I'm not good enough to use him.
Fair enough.
His jump is kind of just squatty, and his attacks are a little weird, and his like really powerful moves involve him just like pancaking you on the ground. But I love the fact that he's in the game.
Doesn't he have like a drill kick thing where like he extends his legs straight out, both of them?
Why would you call it a drill kick?
I don't know. Somebody else called it a drill kick in a different context, which I was going to mention.
Most of the wrestler characters, like King and maybe Marduk too, they kind of jump up and do this like two-legged kick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't want to take away from your thing too much, but
that's okay.
Before I beat New Game with my character in Dark Souls, it'll be quick.
Trust me. I just said somehow this links back to Dark Souls.
You'll see. It's pretty funny. somebody told me I should go kill all the NPCs because once you go into New Game Plus, everything resets. So, yeah, I went around and murdered every single NPC in the game. One of them was the blacksmith. You probably even saw him. You probably got that far. The first blacksmith you see, that burly dude sitting behind an anvil.
He's right outside that, like, one-legged creature.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So if you start fighting him, he's a heck of a fighter. Like, he'll get up and he'll, like, he's got these, like, 1-2 jabs that he'll keep doing. He'll run around after you. And he's got one of these, like, so-called drill kick things. And he'll just knock you back. It's pretty awesome.
All right, so right around that area, there's the Onion Knight.
Yeah.
is he an ally? Is there any reason to not kill him? Because I killed him in my game.
If you complete his long storyline, you can get a very, very rare upgrade material.
Hmm. So it wasn't a good idea to kill him.
Yeah, you wouldn't have found his storyline without looking it up and being very careful. And even then, it's easy to fail it at the end. So you were probably okay.
He was kind of a bastard too, but I did beat him.
Nice. All right.
And I've been playing Mass Effect 3 as well, of course. I actually haven't played a whole lot this week. I put about 24 hours in over the span of like 3 days, which was kind of rough on my mental and physical state. So I took a little bit of time off this week. When I get home from work, I was just watching, you know, Netflix and things like that. Got caught up on Walking Dead for the most part. But anyway, I was playing Mass Effect 3, I think about like 33 hours. I feel like I'm, you know, at least two-thirds of the way through the game or so. It's a good time. I won't talk about anything else, but it's all the missions are really varied, and it doesn't... Even Mass Effect 2 kind of felt a little repetitive over time, and this one, it seems like it has enough different environments, different enemies, so that you don't really... The missions don't feel samey. So that's good. And then I downloaded Journey. I downloaded, played it, and beat it all within the span of, you know, about 2 hours. And I don't know how I feel about it.
We shouldn't spoil it too much, though.
I won't.
Okay.
I'm not going to. I don't know. I was definitely looking forward to it. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of that game company's other two games. They seem more about the message and less about, you know, being a game.
I agree with that.
Yeah, they're hardly games. They're more just experiences. So
I completely agree with that.
Doesn't really jive with me all the time. But I had hope for Journey that it would be more than that. And it's definitely more of a game than say, Flower.
But not by a lot.
Yeah, and the gameplay itself is pretty simple and kind of limiting in a way, but it's really pretty. Like, I definitely just stood there in certain locations. Like, you just come up across like a vista, or, you know, an environment, and the wind would be blowing and the sand would be shifting around, and your little scarf thing would be fluttering in the wind. It's really pretty. They definitely got their money's worth out of the cloth physics in that game.
Mm-hmm. Now, that game is basically like the cloth physics project or something.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I love the environments, love the setting. If they want to make a Journey 2 and flesh it out a little more, I'd probably be interested in that.
Were you playing online?
Yeah.
So you got a dude?
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess people realize how the co-op works. That's not really a spoiler, right?
I guess so. I mean, it was in the Destructoid review.
Yeah, instance. One thing I will say is, you know, for a fairly short game, and that's well known, there were areas where my co-op partner would rush through and complete objectives without me, and kind of just feel like he was playing the game for me, and that, I felt like it kind of sucked away some of my enjoyment.
I pretty much guarantee that sucked away a lot of it.
Yeah.
I played it with somebody who had clearly not know. I played it with two different people who had clearly not played the game before, and it was way, way better. There was no rushing. There was just, you know, exploring at our own pace, both of us together.
Well, and the downside to that, too, is, like, it's a short game. You can definitely replay it, but I don't know if it would have the same impact. So that first playthrough is pretty important, and if it's getting kind of like, you know, I felt a little cheated at times.
That's a bad first impression. I'm hoping that even if I play again, I think I plan to play again because I'm going to capture images and stuff for my blog that I'm working on. I hope I don't get a pro co-op player, Journey speedrun guy or whatever.
I did have one sweet moment that, you know, I think that's the co-op that the creators envisioned. I had basically been knocked down by something. I was just kind of laying there on the ground and just feeling aggravated, and my co-op partner like ran over to me and was like chirping, and I probably laid on the ground for a good minute And I was like, he couldn't hear me, but I was just saying, like, go away, get away from me. And he just kept, like, you know, kind of like, come on, get up, buddy, come on. And I was like, all right, fine. So
that's great.
It was a little bit of a motivator. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, didn't totally hate it, but I feel like there's wasted potential a little bit. But anyway, that kind of leads into our subject this week, which is hype.
Hype!
Hype. So I guess some other industries are kind of like this, but, you know, we'll hear about announcements for games, trailers, developer interviews. You know, they'll exaggerate, you know, how it's going to change the gaming landscape and how it's going to, you know, it's going to make you cry. It's going to...
I think we're all... I think you're talking about a particular game or series of games, aren't you?
Right now? No, there's tons of games that make these promises, and then once they come out, you know, everybody's like, oh, never mind. You know, it's just a game.
Rename this podcast the Peter Molyneux Podcast.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Like, when you started saying those things, that's all I heard.
Yeah, maybe promises. Maybe he's kind of well known for that, but. You know, any developer, you get them into an interview and they'll start telling you how it's like, we really wanted to you know, change the landscape of first-person shooters, and we're really going to make you care about these characters. And, you know, sometimes they do live up to the hype, and other times, most times, not so much. So I guess, like what, you know, just as far as like games that aren't released yet, which ones are you guys most hyped up about? Like, just in your mind, it's no way it could fail. It's going to be amazing. You can already see the smile on your face.
I've got three. Fez, Antichamber, and The Witness. The Witness being Jonathan Blow's next project thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Fez is going to be good because I played the demo and I've seen so much of it.
Yeah, I'm excited for Fez big time.
Yeah. I know Antichamber is going to be good because I played a bunch of it at PAX, and I talked to the dude, and like his like weird inner workings of his mind completely clicked with me.
Yeah.
As he was talking to me, so that I know that's going to be good. And The Witness, I've listened to a couple of talks by Jonathan Blow, and he's a genius when it comes to game design, so I'm excited for that.
Have you talked about Antichamber? I guess we covered it in one of our earlier episodes.
We might have. It's really hard to describe, though. It's, I guess non-Euclidean is the word that gets thrown around with it a lot. Or M.C. Escher-like. Like, mm-hmm. The worlds are, like, you'll walk through a door, and then you turn around, and you can't walk back in the other direction. Like, crazy stuff like that. I actually think we did talk about it mm-hmm. a while back, so I won't bring it up too much.
That's cool. What about you, Malcolm?
Games I'm excited for, or hype, I guess. I think Dragon's Crown, which is the Vanillaware beat 'em up.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, I haven't heard shit about it since E3 or whenever it was announced, so that's not great. But yeah, I'm very excited for that. I love Vanillaware, and that game looks super neat. Other than that, there are a lot of games I'm looking forward to, but nothing. I mean, Bioshock Infinite. That's sort of mm-hmm.
There's hype around that.
There's hype
But there's, I'm biased because it's not hype to me. It's just kind of truth. that game really can't do wrong in my eyes. I love the Bioshock series so much, and I am excited for it. And I don't think they've talked about the relationship between Booker and the girl whose name I forget at the moment.
Elizabeth.
Thank you. Kind of building them up as people and all, and that's great. But I just the whole package, the world, the enemies, everything I've seen about it, with the heavy things you fight, the things
with mech looking things,
handyman,
yeah, yes, thank you, handyman, and then the George Washington mini robots.
That guy looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that game. That's the game I'm looking forward to this year. That night in Dragon's Crown, whenever if that gets released.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll be this year. I don't know what's going on with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think I guess I answered the question incorrectly. I just answered things I'm looking forward to. None of those games have hype around them.
I don't know. I feel like Fez has hype. It was supposed to.
I suppose. Yeah, it just won the IGF. Supposed to have launched back in
2007. I mean, it's been building up for years now.
Yeah, and it won the IGF this year, the Independent Games Festival.
Mm-hmm.
The grand prize, I believe. So, I guess there's some hype there.
Well, what about Mass Effect 3? I mean, that's I think that's a good case of hype. And then with this ending, whatever it is, people are all pissed. Is that hype blow back?
Pretty much, yeah. That was going to be my next question. Is kind of like, you know, stuff that's come out recently that you were hyped up about or excited. It's the same thing, I think. There's definitely expectations that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I kind of build a game up in my mind like, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And sometimes it doesn't really meet my own meet up to my own hype standards, I guess. I think the original Fable is probably one that was like my first blowback, and not because of Peter Molyneux, but it was kind of sold as like a Zelda game.
Was it really? But I never got that.
See, maybe I just built it up in my own head.
I got that it was going to be an action RPG, like the first action RPG for the Xbox. And I think it delivered quite well in that respect.
Yeah. I hated it. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought it was kind of quaint and cozy. It was like if Monty Python made an RPG a little bit. It had this kind of British quirkiness and sensibilities and a pretty good soundtrack. But like then the subsequent games where he was talking about, you do this and you blah, blah, blah. It's fucking full of shit. None of that happened. It's just, I don't know what game he played, but the game that was released.
I think I remember reading an article where he's like, you know, you start as a kid, you're going to grow up. You know, they kept emphasizing the whole grow up feature.
Which doesn't really happen.
It doesn't happen, yeah. And then, you know, if you get a scar, it's going to stay on your face. And I was like, oh, man, that sounds awesome. And then really you play, like, what, the training stage as a kid. You can't do jack shit. You can kick a chicken. and then it's like, oh, teleport. You know, hey, you're full grown now. It was kind of weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I took my frustrations out on the bartender in one of the pubs, and I beat the shit out of him until I grew horns, and then I stopped playing the game. Mass Effect 3.
I wonder whether the disappointment and all the fan outrage, I wonder if that's because of like hype. When I think of hype, I think about like the marketing machine going into full effect and stuff like that. I wonder if it's because of that or because the game they have, you know, hundreds of hours worth of history with characters built up for each individual person that they want to see delivered on and executed well.
I think just the group of players kind of hype it up too. It's not only, you know, BioWare sending out hype. Mm-hmm. It's like the actual players saying like, oh, it's, you know, it's almost like Riot mentality, you know, just the group of people together and they all start getting more and more excited just off each other's energy.
But things are always better in your head.
Always,
you know. I mean, I'm trying to think of an example where it wasn't, and there have been a couple of hamburgers I've had in my life that were pretty fucking orgasmic, and there have been a few sunsets here and there that I quite enjoyed. But yeah, I mean, it's always better in your head. So people, Mass Effect 3, blah, 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 and then whatever the ending is, it's not what they want or what they think it should be. And I can't speak to that because I haven't beaten the game yet. But I don't know. It's annoying me too because now like I'm gonna I don't know what to expect from the ending, but I know it's colored a little bit by all this whatever the fuck the petition and all that shit is.
That's and even if it hasn't been spoiled for you, it's been tainted a little bit because you already kind of know what to expect.
And that's frustrating for me because I really like this is a game I've been looking forward to since I beat Mass Effect 2 and I just want to enjoy the game and really kind of dive into this world that BioWare's created and. I don't know. I think the ending, it's important, but I don't want it to, you know, color my fucking entire experience.
Yeah, and I don't, so far the game's great, so I mean, what could it really do to fuck it up? But we can have some fun with this. What's the worst, like, we don't know what the ending is, so this isn't a spoiler, but imagine the worst possible ending.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, if you were playing the game, what's the worst ending that could happen? Like, Shepard wakes up, you know, it was all a dream.
Oh God!
Bob Newhart,
or you know, Shepard was he was a Geth the whole time, or Shepard's a Reaper. You know, his like skin peels away, and he was a Reaper robot.
Jeez.
Oh.
Go ahead.
He's been hallucinating, and all of his crewmates are actually Hanar.
Everyone he's encountered is a human, and he's not in space.
Oh yeah, they pan back, and then, like, you know, they fade to black, and then there's a Shepard's like in a mental institution. Just
even better. Suddenly the curtain closes over it, and it was actually in a play.
Oh jeez,
it put on by kindergartners.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the final Reaper is destroyed on Earth, and then you hear the director go, cut! All right, great job, everybody.
Or what if it turned out that the Earth itself was a Reaper?
It just, like, opens its mouth up and eats everything?
Yeah. We could pull a Brazil and have it just be this really downer ending. Which I like downer endings. I'd be okay with that, actually. But.
From what I've heard, it sounds like that might be what it is. You know, people keep wondering about a happy ending, and so I don't know.
Not everything needs a happy ending, and I'm really okay with that. But it's another podcast. Man. But
so yeah. Somebody came into it was either my live stream or some other live stream the other day, and shouted what I think might have been the spoiler for the ending and left. You know, I don't know. I want to believe that it wasn't. I'm trying. My mind is trying not to think about it. Hopefully, I'll forget it by the time I get to it.
Yeah, I had something like that happen for Gears of War 3, which is not the most spoiler heavy type of game. But you know, they said some number of characters were going to die, and only like two were left at the end, and it turned out not to be true. So,
nice job, guy.
Yeah.
What about that Sonic game that came out recently? The like Sonic Episode 2 or something? The one that the side scroller.
Generations or Colors or?
No, it was like the downloadable one. The one that was supposed to go back to just straight up 2D side scrolling Sonic. I feel like there was a lot of talk about that before it came out. And then it had like the floaty jumping or whatever that people were all outraged about.
Why are there Sonic fans? Why does Sonic's awful.
Because there were Sonic fans. They were Sonic fans when they were kids.
It doesn't matter. It's been like 15 years since he put out a decent game. Just let it go, guys. You know, some things are better left in the past. You know, I used to love Velcro shoes. Maybe I'll revisit those later in life.
You're 65.
Perhaps. But, you know, kangaroos, they had the little pouch on the side I could put change in.
Wait, what?
There's a brand of shoes called Kangaroo.
I thought you suddenly started thinking about talking about actual kangaroos.
Yeah, kangaroos used to be cool, but not anymore. Right? Yeah. Get over it.
I want British Knights to come back. MC Hammer can do the commercials again.
BKs.
I think the problem with Sonic is his character design and basically environments. They're not timeless. You know, they feel 90s. Like you look at Sonic and he's got the shoes with like the socks. I don't know. He just strikes me as a really outdated looking character. It's like Crash Bandicoot. It's got capri pants and giant tennis shoes. He just looks lame.
Yeah. Like Bubsy the cat.
I think Sonic's best medium today is probably furry erotica and
internet memes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fan art.
Oh God, fan art!
I love fan back art to so
Handy's
much.
Blog posts.
God, he finds just the weirdest things you would never imagine would be combined.
Was that Andy Dixon that did that?
No, Handy.
Oh, Handy. Sorry, I misheard.
Handy, yeah, if you're listening out there, you're a hero.
Yeah, I absolutely love those posts.
You're doing the God's work.
Bring him back. Hype it up.
Hype.
Handy.
Anthropomorphic fucking. That's what it is.
Yeah, they'll basically put Sonic in any situation like, oh, here's Sonic, you know, as a CSI cast member.
I have a couple pictures I downloaded from his blogs that were like Sonic praying to Jesus. Like, I was lost.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm found.
There was like a panel-based comic, wasn't there, where Sonic was like preaching or the gospel. Yeah.
And there's another meme, which is draw pictures of animated GIFs of Sonic running stupidly, or like stupid versions of Sonic running.
And there's some good stuff in there, yeah.
Yeah, like when he's using his eyeballs to run.
there are some just, I can't even describe them because they're so weird, but yeah. Using random limbs. Speaking of running, did you guys see that video that I retweeted earlier? It was a Japanese horse racing game.
No,
was it today?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I guess there's a Japanese horse racing sim. We're totally off subject right now, but they're not all horses. One of them was like a mechanical horse. Another one of the horses in the race was a Trojan horse, just like rolling. Another one was it looked like a barrel with two holes cut in it with like humans as the horse legs, and then someone riding on top of the barrel. One of them was a manatee or a sea walrus or a walrus or something, just like flopping. another one was a horse on two legs, and it kind of ran sideways, like crossing its legs alternatively, you know, like almost like dancing.
Yeah.
They should have the speed snail from Neverending Story.
There's also an abominable snowman with like a little guy like sitting on his shoulders. So all these crazy characters, and it's pretty awesome. The animations are actually decent.
Nice. I'm trying to look for your link. Oh, here we go. I'll look at it a little bit later. I just wanted to.
It's pretty good.
Whoops.
Is it auto playing?
Sorry, yeah. Okay, I see it. This is weird.
You know, we can hear you when you look at porn, Nutef.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What? This horse has like a weird attachment on the front of its head. Like a... I don't know.
I don't know what
that
is.
Just say dildo.
Yeah, basically.
It could be.
Yeah. One of those is not actually a horse and looks like a bear. That's great. This is good radio.
Yeah, it is. I don't know.
Have you guys seen... this is back on topic. That Far Cry 3 like ad that keeps playing on internet sites or on YouTube and stuff.
Mm-mm.
No, what is it?
Oh man, I don't know. It's like your dude is going to go party on this island, and he gets there, and suddenly he gets kidnapped. Like he and his two buddies, and then he busts out and like starts killing everybody. And it's very weird. And it's long. It's like a 3 or 4 minute ad. It plays all the time, and you know, it feels like they're... I never understand how they hype these Far Cry games, because the way that people talk about them with reverence. They absolutely love the open world design and the immersion gameplay. And then you see a video, like a trailer, where it looks like a regular action game. And I don't know how to reconcile that with what must be the person's vision. Because Clint Hawking is a very smart guy from like all the things I've read from him.
I've played Far Cry. I didn't beat Far Cry 2 or anything, and Far Cry 2 definitely had some interesting features in it. Like you could pull out the bullets, you know, out of your arm with like pliers, like right there on the spot. But it's kind of bland.
Most people say it's not a great game. It's not a very... Or they'll say they totally understand if you don't like it. Because it's not for most people.
I don't like jungle settings.
That'll do it.
Yeah. They did have a...
It's a good reason, right?
Yeah, it is. And then there's the fire mechanic in the second one, where you could like start a fire and it would like...
burn down the place.
It would actually catch onto trees and buildings and stuff. It was interesting. But when it all comes down to it, it felt like just an average shooter.
You should listen to like people who are obsessed with this game talk about their experiences, because it's like telling like really good stories.
Well, I'm sure Reverend Anthony has told you a couple, right?
Yeah, he had a GDC talk some years back where it was very spoiler, and he talks about the ending. He makes a pretty interesting point about how the developers... kind of twist the sense of morality in the game, especially if you know what's coming at the end. Yeah, it's pretty neat. I'd like to give a link to it in case anybody wants to watch. He talks like at 90 miles an hour, so it's like a 3-minute talk, which probably should have been about 15.
So speaking of endings, like in Mass Effect 3, how much weight do you guys put into the ending of a game? Because I think for the most part, endings are kind of... seems for the most part the developers kind of lose sight of maybe what they're working towards, or it never really is as epic as the game leading up to that point makes it
seem. I mean, look at like the ending of BioShock for me. I mean, I like the ending of it, even the good and the evil ending, but they were just these kind of little moments. And I say spoilers. I don't know if anyone hasn't played that game yet, but I know there's one person who hasn't. But you know, for me, it was about the journey. It was about going through Rapture and all of that, and just kind of living in that world. I didn't really care what the ending was. I just kind of wanted to experience Rapture. And that's sort of how it is, at least I'm going into it, like with Mass Effect. I just want to hang out in the Mass Effect world. I really like it. I like the races. I like the characters. I like the interaction. And that's what I'm after. The ending, I think it depends on the game, but for me, it's not the most important thing.
Yeah, and there's some games, like I know Final Fantasies are kind of guilty of this, but they'll have, like, what, 12 endings? And what are they?
Chrono Trigger, with its like 21 or however many fucking endings there are.
Seriously, wow.
Are they like little like 2-minute scenes? I mean, is it really worth your time to play through the whole game just to see another ending? I mean, in the world of YouTube, you know, you're probably better off just checking out like a compilation video.
Halo,
that's what I did with the bad BioShock ending. I wasn't going to play through it again just for that. Mm-hmm. Plus, I felt bad harvesting all the little girls.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting choice. You didn't feel bad?
No. Well, I do this with every game, with a good and evil thing. I my first playthrough is always good, because it's good with like some moments of evil. And that's how I naturally am, I guess. But they said we all are. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do my second playthrough. I'll do straight bad. And it's even kind of tough then, because I kind of like force myself to murder this child. Okay, you know, and which I guess is a good thing that I'm not just immediately drawn to killing children, but. Yeah, I always do a good and a bad playthrough just to see how it differs.
Yeah.
Supposedly, it differs a lot in Mass Effect 3, people were saying.
Oh, yeah.
There's some renegade options in or one of those, like, quick, when they put up the right trigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those are really satisfying, and some I felt like a super dick.
Yeah, I've had a couple. I don't want to give any spoilers, but I've had, so far, at least one early on in the game made me very happy.
Oh, so you did, you went with the renegade, even though you're playing as good, just to see.
Well, like I said, I have moments. I mean, I'm good overall, but like there are moments I'm like, fuck you, and I'll do something that isn't a good and noble thing to do, but I don't care because I'm not an entirely good person, nor am I entirely evil.
I really want to sometimes, but I save those for my renegade playthrough.
Yeah, just gotta be like an '80s movie villain to where everything is evil about you.
Totally.
You don't have an ashtray when you're smoking. You just have a kitten that's on its belly.
I have so much more fun on my renegade playthrough. I mean, for one, I'm playing as female Shepherd, which I just think she's acted better. Like that. that was a fantastic sentence. I like her voice actor better. How about that?
That's fair.
There's more like emotion behind what she's saying, and like her. Just the dialogue just comes off better. The male Shepherd is kind of, I could see the script in front of his face. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Shepherd pulled out a little piece of paper and was like, we have to save the galaxy. The Turians are coming, you know.
I've never played as a male Shepherd.
But, I have two different characters, so I wanted to experience both. And I make my female Shepherd the antithesis to my male Shepherd, so she picks all the other options. She, instead of saving everybody, kills as many people as she can. She picks all the... she makes all the poor choices. You know? Even though you could technically play a renegade character that's still... I don't know, you could kind of... There's some options that aren't necessarily bad. That you could just like have a renegade style, but still be doing the right thing.
Right.
Which is actually what most of the options are in Mass Effect. But you can also be a super dick and... And entire races and yeah.
My only regret with that is that I never made a female character, and I don't entirely know why. I think I was just drawn to making the most horrific looking man I could. You should see. I wish I could show y'all a screen cap of my character, because he has the eye option is the one where you don't really blink and they're always open really wide.
Oh God,
he's very gaunt, and he kind of looks like Edward James almost.
You went with the bad skin?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Or maybe like after the Armageddon, you know, like where he's seen his family burn and can't sleep at night. And, you know,
his eyes are permanently open.
It's funny because I'm having all these moments where someone's like, oh, this thing happened and I'm really sad. And you're like, it's okay, person. I'm here for you. But his eyes with these giant, unblinking hell eyes. And his mouth is slightly open like a fish. And so it's fun. But I do wish, maybe for myself, well, I don't know, can you, I guess I could just start a new character. And bring, instead of importing my other shepherd in, I could just make a female character because I would like to play the game that way.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And you get different, you know, sex options. Hey-o.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah.
Kind of. I admit I've made different saves to bed different characters just to see how it is. It's all, you know, it's always the same. But
still. It's almost like the whole ending thing. It's almost not even worth the effort. You know, you spend your whole game like choosing all the right dialogue choices and, you know, getting her flowers and talking to her and, you know, softly putting your hand on her arm and then like, all right, here's the money shot. 10-second fade away. Boom. Okay.
Side boob. It. All right.
And you know, they cut to it and her head's in the toilet and you're putting cigarettes out on her back.
I don't think I got that ending. Huh? That scene.
Oh, no, this wasn't a Mass Effect.
Well played.
What are y'all talking about? I don't know.
I think that's it. That's all I got for hype. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I think, and we kind of live in a world, when I read, like on Destructoid, when I read these articles that people put, not, like they release press releases for games is what I'm trying to say. Sorry, I'm still not awake even at almost 2 p.m. here. Where it's like, blah, 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 but they use that kind of manager speak. And I'm sure, Eric, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep, yep.
And probably you do too, Newt, for that matter.
Yeah.
But I just, it's a paragraph that says nothing. Yep. There's not one concrete sentence in the entire fucking thing. And I hate it. So, I mean, I really, over the years, I've kind of become jaded towards hype and really try very hard to cut through it and just, okay. I'm going to play the demo. I'll gamefly the game. That's my hype. That's what I'm going to go off of. I'm not.
Well, like, you know, one of the most hyped games from last year was Skyrim, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
so, you know, we got kind of like three different opinions here. Like, Newt, you never really played Oblivion, right?
Right.
And you watched your wife play Skyrim and it didn't do anything for you at all.
Right.
You know, I was a super fan of Oblivion. And I played Skyrim for a little bit, and for whatever reason, I don't really know, but it didn't grab me at all. I don't feel compelled to go back and play it, and I feel kind of bad about that, but because I am missing out on a lot of apparently cool gameplay, but it just didn't jive with me. But then, Hugh, you played it quite a bit, right?
Yeah, I did what I always do with open-world, sandboxy-type games, is I played it. I put over 100 hours into it, actually. Mm-hmm. And never beat it. And one day I woke up and said, I don't want to play this anymore, and I haven't touched it since. And I don't know why I do that, but I do that every sandbox game I've ever played. I did that with Saints Row 2, as many as I can think of. But, yeah, I don't know why. I did enjoy it, though. But it was buggy. I mean, fuck it. Those games are going to be buggy. I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
By those games, you mean like Bethesda games?
Yeah, sorry. Let me clarify Bethesda. Well, and then, I guess a lot of open-world type games... Or buggy, but Bethesda's really good at it.
Yeah, and, you know, Grand Theft Auto's are pretty buggy, too, and people don't really seem to care. Those are really popular.
Yeah.
But, you know, you played for over 100 hours, and apparently you can beat the story in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that includes walking time, which, honestly, over the course of 100 hours, I'm sure a lot of it was spent walking.
Yeah, because what I would do is just sort of, I love exploration and, you know, losing myself in the world. So I would just walk. I would just pick a direction, pull a Forrest Gump, and start fucking running. No? Nothing? Okay.
No, that's... I mean, not that the Forrest Gump joke wasn't topical. And it's a current joke. Did you think that Skyrim was like a box of chocolates? Did you get that feeling?
You never know. I fucking hate that quote, because you're going to know what you're in the box of chocolates. You go get a goddamn Whitman sampler, you look on the back, and it tells you what's in the fucking box of chocolates.
And most of them have that little card on the inside, which, yeah.
Has the little illustrations. I think the joke here is Forrest Gump couldn't read, and he couldn't figure out what they were.
Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
You know, Bubba did all the work. That wasn't Forrest.
Gump didn't do shit. Although he did kind of get a quasi-hand job from Jenny in her dorm room.
Yeah, he did.
Part of his job description.
He made a mess on her roommate's towel or something.
Yeah, I didn't get that part at first when the first time I saw that movie, and then I years later I did. So that's my story.
Were you giving yourself a hand job and then you were like, oh yeah, this is what happened at Forrest Gump?
Oh my, yeah, duh.
Yeah, so Skyrim.
What do you guys, this is on topic, I think. What do you guys think about, like, preview articles that video game websites do for games?
I don't know. There's one type of preview where it seems like they have some videos and they're kind of just like in the same position we are. They haven't played the game. They're just making some like broad statements based on what they've seen. You know, this looks to be the biggest open world game yet, or
yeah,
whatever.
There was this thing with Game Informer. I noticed this with Game Informer when I used to get that subscription, where I would read them and they would have these previews and they would be like, yeah, this looks awesome. And it usually sounded like they'd played them at least a bit because they're legitimate, like real journalists, and they get invited to these things. And then inevitably, a few issues later, they'll come out with a review and it'll be like 5 out of 10. This, they totally messed up in the latter half of the game, or the mechanics are totally broken. And it's like night and day between that and the preview. And that happened for lots of games, not just a few.
I think with that, though, maybe they're playing earlier builds, or the experience that they are having has been carefully crafted by the game company.
That could be it, yeah.
So they're just kind of this one area, this one focus, and then when they get the full package, however well done or not, that's when they kind of realize, oh, this is a big piece of shit. But I've encountered that too with a lot of previews. And then I read some previews that there was one on Destructoid a while back for like a Resident Evil game, Resident Evil Revelation, or whichever the one, Raccoon City, the one that's like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
And like the guy who did the preview for it was just like, well, if you like shooters and you're stupid, this is the same shit as always.
Wow.
I mean, I'm you know, obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I mean, it was really like
paraphrasing. You're paraphrasing.
Yeah, and maybe exaggerating. But I don't think I was. I mean, he didn't say shit, but I think everything else is pretty much spot on. But it was like, well, that's not much of a preview if you just fucking hate this kind of game to begin with. I don't know.
I think as far as the Game Informer articles go, it's marketing. You know, they.
Right.
I'm sure that they invite them to their studio. And they kind of do a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, look, you know, paint this game in a good light. You don't have to lie, but you don't have to be super hard on it. You know, it's still in development.
Right.
If it seems still a little glitchy, you know, if the graphics are shitty, we're going to work on that. It's going to be way better. And a lot of times it's not. But even with demos, typically demos are pretty good example of what the final game is going to be like. And every once in a while I played a demo that wasn't that great and the game was actually improved, but for the most part it's a chunk of the game, it's already finished. You know, the graphics aren't going to drastically improve from when the demo was released, right?
From a software development standpoint, by the time you put out a demo, you're almost or mostly like game feature complete.
Yeah.
It's maybe adding art and assets and some levels maybe, or tweaking that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I've had customers come in and they're like, yeah, the demo wasn't that great, but you know, I think the final game will be better. Like, well, the demo came out last week. You know, it's not.
Well, it's because people don't know how things work. It's the same reason you get customers in there asking like, when's Xbox 720 coming out? I need that. You know, just,
oh, I've had people tell me that they've already seen the controller. You know,
why do they feel the need to? I've seen this. I dated a girl that worked at a GameStop, and she would come in with these stories. And like, why do they feel the need to impress you? I don't get that.
I don't know if it's even impressing. I think they just maybe they don't live and breathe. Not that we're all obsessed with games, but we do play quite a few, and we hang out on a video game website a lot.
But I think that's more for social aspects than the games.
Yeah, honestly,
personally.
It is. Mm-hmm. But and we're also doing a podcast about games too, but we're maybe not obsessed, but we are fans of the activity.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these people are really just kind of casual. You know, they do buy games, but they don't maybe research them a lot. And if they see a rumor online, they don't check the source, you know. It might just be some guy on a forum saying like, oh dude, PS4 controller is going to be a hologram and
it's going to look like a giant pizza from Domino's.
Yeah,
and you have to fart to play it.
Your Bluetooth headset is actually the whole system, and it's just all inclusive, and you can play it on any surface in your house, not even your TV. And,
yeah. The system's going to double as birth control.
It uses your urine to power it, so you don't never have to take a pee break while you're playing Call of Duty.
Get on that, Microsoft.
Oh man.
Yeah. No, I had somebody say that. This is why I got super pissed. It was one of my managers, my third key. He told me that he had already seen the new Xbox controller, and it was just like the Wii U, had a giant screen.
Oh wow.
And he was telling a customer this. I was at the other end of the store.
Jeez.
And I go, dude, what are you talking about? He's like, no, I've seen it. It's got a big touchscreen. I go, they haven't announced anything. Is it? They've shown nothing. I've seen no mention of this rumor at all. And he just, you know, swore by it. And I just kind of looked at the customer and was like, don't believe him. You know.
That's unprofessional.
It's just lame. I mean, he should know better. He should know better than that. He kind of embarrassed himself there. Not that, you know, there won't be any kind of touchscreen on the controller. Who knows? I doubt there will be a huge, iPad in the middle of the controller like the Wii U. But, you know. Anyway, just don't take rumors as fact.
But do.
But do. If they're really cool, then yes. Do.
Like 80% of the time they're true, so.
Do you guys have any questions?
Yeah, I actually got two.
what's going on, Hugh?
Why does my dad cries a lot at night, and I've been trying to figure this out for about a year now. You guys have any ideas?
Do you live with your dad?
Do you?
Does he call you, and then that's how you know he's crying at night?
I asked you a question, Eric. Do you live with my dad?
In spirit, I'm there with him always.
Good answer. Mm-hmm.
We're both Cherokee, so we have a mind.
Hey, that's fucking funny, Eric. Seriously, dude, drop it.
I do a rain dance, and the raindrops drop it.
We managed to make it an hour in before bringing up racism.
You know what? You're 985th cunt. How about that?
The Native Americans are almost extinct, so it's not really racism at that point, is it?
The white man tried, but they can't keep us down.
I don't know. I think they did a pretty good job of that, actually.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Oh. Dude, why are you chiming in on this? Why are you taking the side of the racists?
You said they can't keep us down. I don't know. I think the state of it's pretty bad these days. It's unfortunate.
Newt, you're Indian. You should be sympathetic.
As I said in that one movie, dots, not feathers.
Oh, okay.
Lovely.
I don't remember what movie that was. I just remember that.
It was probably Larry the Cable Guy. Vehicle.
Oh god,
I don't know, it was some sort of chick flick. I don't remember.
I bet Larry the Cable Guy has a lot of sex with prostitutes.
He could afford it, right?
Yeah, probably. Those high class prostitutes that wear black dresses.
Maybe he just goes to the local pool hall and just kind of like shows up and is like, get her done, and then grabs, you know,
and he gets it done.
Let's go in the bathroom, get it done. All right, questions. I only have one, so I don't want to go first.
I have one, two, three.
Well, let's get hype. How many questions do you have?
Four.
Three, four?
Five, maybe. I don't know. I can't count.
I've got two. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're under 10 questions, y'all.
Go.
Who wants to go first? You want me to go first?
Pick one or two.
All right.
We'll go through these.
Volty Squirrel. From Twitter asks, what are you wearing? And I'll go first. I'm wearing Punisher boxers. And that's it, because I haven't gotten dressed today.
You don't even have a shirt on?
Apparently not.
No.
Well.
But he's actually wearing the boxers on his head.
Even better.
Balls just flapping in the breeze.
His one eye is peeking out of the crotch hole, kind of like the chainsaw guy from Resident Evil 4. Just that one eye. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it took me a second. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, yeah. Real
good. Okay.
Is Newt, are you uncomfortable that I'm not wearing a shirt right now?
It's okay.
You sure?
I like you.
Oh, I like you too. Are you wearing a shirt?
I am.
Take your shirt off.
Newt always wears a shirt. He showers with a shirt on.
I'm a never nude.
I just imagine that. Never I like nude. It. Like the Wyatt and Gary from Weird Science, keeping their jeans on when they showered with
Kelly. Oh, God. Oh, man, I love Weird Science.
Me too.
I'm wearing some modified pajama pants that I have cut into capris for the summertime. What? So I don't get too hot. And I put a shirt on especially for this podcast because I didn't want to stick to the chair while I was sitting here.
You need to get a
leather chair or something?
Although, no, I just didn't. It's a leather chair. Actually, my couch is leather too, and I was playing Mass Effect, and I went to sit up. And I was shirtless, and there was definitely like a rip.
Yeah, that
it's like I was skinning a kill, you know, like I killed an otter and I was peeling its skin off. That's the sound it made.
Nice. ODR style.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt because I just got up.
Is it cold?
It's pretty cold. There's snow on the ground.
You fucker.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yesterday it was like 70, and now there's snow on the ground. So this place is severely confused.
Yeah, I live in a Hungarian man's crotch, so it's...
Has it already gotten super hot?
Yeah, it's already super hot here. It pisses me off. It smells like summer, too, and that makes me angry.
I saw my first fly yesterday, and I was like, fuck you, I forgot about insects.
Oh, yeah, they're all waking up.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes are bad here now.
There's nothing more annoying than, like, trying to talk and having, like, a gnat fly, like, in your nose, and you brush it away, and then, like, goes into your ear, and it's like, get the fuck away from me, and I can't do anything about it.
It's the worst feeling. The worst feeling.
It is the worst.
Having a bug inside you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. How about another question? You all ready?
Yep.
All right. We have a Browner2008 asks on Twitter, are there any comic or video games that you could see working as a movie? Batman. probably the Avengers. Blade.
Are these Ghost ones Rider. That have already been made into movies? Oh, sure.
Have they? I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
So what's like a, you know, you're a comic book aficionado. What's a really unknown comic that could work?
That could work? Depends, because
I guess anything.
If you want to make something user-friendly, but like stuff someone would watch, like they're like Hellblazer, like a proper Hellblazer movie would be great. Character named John Constantine. They actually made a movie called Constantine with Keanu Reeves a while back, and I don't think it did that well.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I saw it. Not good.
Yeah, if they did like a proper one with that, it'd be really good, but no one would see it because it'd be an awful, terrible film. No one would be happy the entire time. But let's see. Comics. Let me look at my comics here.
While you're looking at them, I could use another Hellboy movie. Those might be my favorite comic book movies.
Oh, really? They're really fun. They don't stick with me. I've never been a huge Hellboy fan. I like it visually, but I never really was endeared to it.
Something, you know, just I've got a thing for just, like, unique characters. You know, there's, like, the water creature. You know, he's a hell demon with, like, a stone arm. I don't know. Just neat. The villains are cool. The guy with
character
the
designs.
Gas mask and the like, arm blades. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I did
there's,
like
Nazi actually, stuff going on. That's cool.
I have a figure of him that I bought I really like. Because I did like that design. I think, let's see here. Alan Moore did a series called Top 10, which is, it's a police precinct. But everyone in this world has superpowers. And some people have, like, insane, like, control cosmic energy. Some people's powers, they can talk to cats. It just depends. But all the different people on this police squad have a different power. And it's a really, really well done story. And I think, I don't know if a movie, but definitely like a TV show. Maybe something on HBO or one channel that would let you get away with a little more violence and sex. The Incredible, I can't read it because then, The Immortal Iron Fist, because the font's weird. Matt Fraction did a run on Immortal Iron Fist that was really good. And that's kind of he's in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Mm-hmm. And he's all like kung fu-y with mystical abilities and stuff. So that would be good. And let's see, Iron Man. No, I know they already have a movie, but maybe a better Iron Man story.
What about you guys? I really like Fear Agent. I think that could make a fun movie. It's about a guy in space, and he runs across different alien races, and it's really ridiculous. It's exaggerated. It's definitely could be kind of like a Men in Black or something like that, but The main character is an alcoholic, and I don't know. It's got some funny dialogue, and I think it can make an interesting movie. Probably more of just like a popcorn type movie, nothing like serious. But I would see it.
I don't know about this question. Yeah. Sorry.
You don't read comics, right?
Not really.
There's one other thing that's called Grapple.
He did say or video games.
Yeah.
Or movies, I think, right?
No, video games to be made into movies.
Yeah. Oh, video. Oh, other way around. I was thinking about movies to be made into video games.
No. Comics or video games made into movies. I'll say one other comic. It's Gravel by Warren Ellis, about a combat magician. Which is it sounds silly, but he's this guy who's an old SAS operative, and he uses magic and he has these guns and he fights people, and it's awesome because it's not like, you know, Harry Potter, Wandus Dickus, or I don't know Harry Potter, but he fucks people up, and it's bloody and it's violent and it's super super well done. So yeah, Gravel would make an awesome movie if the right, like David Fincher did it.
There's a lot of video games that have good backstories and like unexplored things that could work, like Bastion, for instance. There's a lot of backstory and weird stuff in a kind of interesting setting.
You could make a really good animated movie out of Bastion, I think.
Yeah, perhaps.
Is that all I got?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I think if we're talking movies, I mean, live action, it's a bit harder to do, but like Psychonauts would make an incredible animated movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would translate well.
Yeah. The Fatal Frame series, I think you make a pretty good horror movie if you got the right person doing it.
Yeah, very Japanese
really
one.
Cool. I wasn't let down by the Silent Hill movie. I actually thought that was pretty good.
I enjoyed it as well. It wasn't great, but it was a lot better than I thought it would be, and I'm looking forward to the sequel. You could even make a fucking... You could make a great Final Fight movie. You just want something like awesome, pop, stupid. Final Fight, man. Right there.
That could be pretty amazing.
Huh?
That could be pretty amazing. I'm just imagining a live-action Hagar.
Yeah, me too.
Played by Tom Selleck, and maybe they could use the Benjamin Button technique to like make his body huge.
Nice. <would be> You know, Eric, there's a there's an Ultimate Muscle anime series. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but...
I haven't.
Yeah. It's good. I've seen the first couple episodes. I think I don't know if you would enjoy it or not. I don't know how much your love of the toys extends to anything else, but
it barely extends from the toys. I just like playing with them, you know. It's not something I do anymore, but I do remember it fondly. I used to, even with my Ninja Turtles, I used to set up little like scenes, and I'd have the turtles, you know, flipping around my room and shit.
Yeah, same here. It's a shame I didn't know you a couple of years ago. I had I don't know why you're laughing, but okay.
I was imagining us meeting as kids. I thought that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, and then make out?
In between playing with toys. Cool. Sure.
Okay, just checking. No, I had a whole bag full of Ultimate Muscle toys, like little figures, that I sold on eBay. Had I known you were a fan, I would have kept them and parsed them over the years to you. But
did you get a bunch of money for them?
About $60.
Yeah, I forgive you. You got another one?
Questions, yes. I was looking at my video game still. This is from Smurfy McGee on Twitter. It says, which talking protagonist would you like to see go silent in their next game?
So which one's annoying?
Yeah.
So what annoying protagonist is in a game that's actually decent and would be better if you'd shut the fuck up? I don't know. Shepard?
Oh, boy.
I know that this doesn't necessarily apply, but you know, while I'm talking, you guys can think of your answer. In fighting games, if I can switch to Japanese language track, I always do, because I never want to hear them say anything in English. It's always shitty. Their win poses are always something like, you know, I knew I could do it. You know, yes. Thumbs up, or it's super generic. You know, a couple of the Marvel characters are pretty funny, but for the most part, I'd rather just not know what they're saying, because Japanese sounds really cool. So if I have no idea what's going on, if there's like, Sarinuga, you know, I could just, you know, I think he just called me a cupcake. You know, I don't know what he said, so it works for me. So that's how I dodged that question.
Good deal.
Completely.
I would be interested in seeing a Silent Hill game that was completely
silent.
Yeah, there's just more about the experiences and telling the tale through moments and images and things. I would enjoy that.
Didn't they... oh, sorry, keep going.
No, go ahead.
Well, didn't the characters in Borderlands say things?
Yeah, kind of, but that game doesn't have a story. Who cares?
Yeah, but I'm thinking about... I'm trying to think of the games where the characters inevitably spew the same, like, 5 or 10 different little things over and over again and just, God, shut up.
I remember my sniper just kind of blurting out the same phrase every time I got a headshot and got old real quick.
Yeah.
Because that's all you do as a sniper.
I don't know if going silent is the answer, though.
I don't know. I really enjoy when a game can tell a story without having to use words. And words aren't bad or anything, not by any stretch of the imagination. It's just sort of refreshing when they can do that.
It's pretty artful if they can.
You would love Journey. You would love Journey big time.
Yeah. I need to. Is there a demo for it?
No. Ooh. That's what pissed me off.
Well, on the demo thing, it's a 2-hour game.
Still, you could have a 2-minute demo. You know, anything so that I could at least get a taste. I mean,
all right.
I'm just saying.
All right.
I know it wouldn't encapsulate the whole experience, but $15, arguably not a lot of money, but for a game that short, you know, I kind of want to know what I'm getting into. I don't know. I like Microsoft's or Xbox Live's policy where pretty much, I guess, every downloadable game has a demo.
Yes.
Even the indie games have a demo. I appreciate that. I know a lot of console games, they kind of choose if they want to or not, but I do like that. And on the subject of characters talking, you know, they're always calling for, like, Link to talk. I don't want to hear Link talk. I don't want to hear his little Weasley elf voice, like, get away, Ganon!
You know? We already hear we already have a sense of what it's going to sound like from his, grunts.
Luffy had a really deep voice.
That'd be hilarious. But they kept the grunts the same.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd be okay with, like, the NPCs and the other characters talking. I don't know if that would bother me, but I don't need him to talk. I know how jarring it was in Metroid Other M to hear Samus talk, and it just sucked any coolness or mystery out of her character. It turned her into, like, what seemed like just, like, a weak female.
What about Assassin's Creed? What if the main dude didn't talk in that?
It'd probably be better.
I think so, too. I think it would give an air of, like, mystery to him.
Yeah, and that's the best parts of Assassin's Creed are definitely not when he's, you know, walking around talking to Leonardo da Vinci, you know.
Leonardo is great. I loved Leonardo.
Yeah. I have hope that this new character in Assassin's Creed 3 will maybe go that route a little bit more. Maybe he won't be so wordy. Who knows? But yeah, that's probably the best example yet, I think.
Is there room for a middle ground? Like, not a silent protagonist, but just a laconic one? Like, he talks very rarely or very short phrases?
I guess there is.
Nobody ever thinks about that, I think.
There's probably examples of that, but yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't be a bad thing, I suppose. There's definitely characters that it's unnecessary for them to speak. Like, you know, take BioShock, for instance. You know, first BioShock and the second one, I guess, main character didn't talk at all. So in Infinite, though, the character is going to have a voice, and I guess he'll be talking with this girl the whole time. Do you think that's going to pull you out of the...
No, because I think that relationship is designed specifically to build them together and kind of show their growth to the player. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the vibe I've gotten from different interviews with Ken Levine and stuff. But
it sounds like there's a back and forth between those two. Like, it's kind of a, you know, she seems to need him, and it sounds like he might, I mean, he has some vested interest in her, and I think they need to talk.
And there's both pretty good voice actors for the characters, so that's what I've heard. I liked what they had to say, so.
Yeah, apparently that Troy Baker, the guy who does Booger, what the hell is that? Plays a Booger DeWitt. He also did a Two-Face in Batman Arkham City, and then he's doing another character in an upcoming game, and of course I can't remember it now, but it's another pretty big game, so it seems like he's taking the Nolan North route. He's making a name for himself.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see, I have a question. I think it's from Smurfy McGee as well. That was a good one, Smurf.
Yeah, nice one.
Also, we should probably throw out a shout-out to him. He's since we usually post our episodes on Monday, he's our Monday blog recapper.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He usually top sauces us, and I appreciate that. Appreciate his sauce.
Thank you for the sauce.
Yes.
We like sauce.
Tastes like tartar sauce. It's pretty good.
All over my lips.
Tartar sauce is good.
Lips and teeth. Get him. You need him to eat.
Tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce.
Put it on.
Put it on. Tastes like cum. Someone had to say it.
Of course you had to say it.
Of course. I know. It doesn't, by the way.
I'm sure the assistant manager at Long John Silver's has come probably tastes a little bit like tartar sauce.
Probably.
You are what you eat.
Though, to be fair, Captain D's is better than Long John Silver's, but...
I don't know what that is. Is that a local thing?
I think Captain D's may be regional. It's not actually in Louisiana. I've seen them in Mississippi. But they just do, like, you know, fried fish and hush puppies and shit. But it's really good.
Cool.
And, yeah.
Hush puppies are the shit. What is a hush puppy?
A hush puppy is...
It's just like dough, fried dough.
No, like actually, it's herbs. Not. I'll tell you. Okay. Shut the fuck up for a second. I'll tell you.
I'm quiet.
Oh, my God. just
not going to talk anymore. Just go ahead.
Skin, and I'm going to wear it as an encounter suit.
Go.
Thank you. A hush puppy is you take cornbread batter, and then you wrap that in like the flour. You deep fry it. And I've had them with jalapenos in it. I've had it with like bacon minced into it and all kinds of spices. You turn it's like a ball of cornbread that you deep fry. And they're typically eaten with butter. I think that's gross because I don't like butter very much. I eat mine with ketchup, and most people say I'm gross for that. But you can eat it with whatever the fuck you want to eat it with. But they're super, super good.
If they're cooked well, I just eat them straight. Like, I don't need a sauce or anything. They're just moist enough, but, man, they're fantastic. They're really good.
I've seen places that do hush puppy sandwiches, or hush puppy po' boys, I guess.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. If y'all ever make your way down here to the... whatever, the Pelican State, I guess. Well, there's a few places for some southern cuisine we should try.
Yeah, hush puppies. I could eat a whole plate. If a restaurant was offering the hush puppy platter, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, they do here, so.
Oh, God. All right, well, I'll be seeing you soon.
All right, man. Cool. Door's unlocked.
Oh, cool. Back door, right? Perch. Wink. So Smurfy asks, what do y'all want to see improved in the PS3 release of Deadly Premonition, which I didn't play too much of it, so I can't really speak for it, but can they improve it? I mean, it was already perfect. 10 out of 10.
It definitely. Well, I think maybe they could give you the radio to begin with so you don't have to drive that car everywhere. That driving that car was kind of nightmarish, but that added to the sort of despondent charm of that game. I would love to see extras, maybe like a behind the scenes thing or so. I just want to know more about how that game was made and conceived and created. But I mean, otherwise, it's good. You know, they want to include like an art book or something. That'd be great. If they want to include extra content, like make a new section for the game or something, that'd be fine. But yeah, I mean, really, you don't need to do much to improve it. I mean, it was already a really great game.
Yeah. They could improve the combat and whatnot. Yeah.
No, all that. But see, I don't think they should. I think it is, it's so fucking clunky and weird. But it's perfect. Like if you smoothed it out, it would be sort of. I don't know. It would take.
It'd be selling out. You'd be
putting
out
on airs.
No, it would. I think it would just. It would remove some of the character of the game.
Fair enough. What about different outfits? You might have already said that. I was reading a tweet.
No, that's all right. I could see that.
It seems harmless. Yeah.
That's always, I enjoy that.
Maybe HD? I'm just kidding. Deadly Premonition HD. That's even more H.
Yeah, even more choppy.
actually, I have a second question that I didn't realize, so that's cool. My buddy Steezy asks, is there a game coming out that you are hyped to play? Now, we did already kind of answer this, but I just thought of one more. And it's fucking Darksiders 2. I watched the trailer for that thing. It looked fun. I don't care I don't care what you think. I actually was like, I got a little excited. And it's coming out this summer, so I'm pretty pumped.
Oh, dude, I'll come to college just disconnected.
Yeah, of course. I know why you dislike it, and I know you said last time that it wasn't a terrible game, but
no, it wasn't a terrible. I you know what? I'm gonna play it. I know I'm gonna play it because I'll need more fuel to make fun of it. But I'm gonna play it, and it's fine. It's my issue is when people are like Darksiders is the greatest game I've ever played. That's when I take issue because it's not. You need to play more games, and that art style is shit. It is awful.
The skulls. Oh my blog handy put with the skulls. Yeah, that was hilarious.
So yeah,
art style is not that bad. The main character is awful, and the main character of the other game was awful. And I was staring at his back the whole time. It's not that big of a deal.
It is awful. No, it's really terrible. Like Joe Madd is not a good comic artist at all. It's just not
those two giant demon snakes with the huge Jay Leno chins. They look pretty cool.
I don't know what that is.
All right, it was in one of the screenshots in that blog post by Handy, but I don't know. I think the enemy designs are cool. That blacksmith from the first game, he was a badass. You can't argue with that.
It was cool, but I mean, like, another thing is, I kind of seen it all before. All that stuff, all those kind of creature designs. It's like lava demon man. Big thing with an axe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
true. Mean, like, if you want creature design, you fucking look at Dark Souls. Some of the best goddamn creature design I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrifying. And Silent Hill does a good job, too. I was flipping through the strategy guide for Downpour. And it never ceases to amaze me how they can make a face even more terrifying every time. Like, one of them had, like, a slit mouth, almost like a Muppet mouth. Like a mouth that went all the way across the face, and then his eyes were like, you know, held open, and it was just terrible.
That's fun.
That my wife calls those face scaries, and she doesn't like those.
That's fair.
That's a reason for her not to watch a movie.
Yeah. So do you have a question there, Newt?
I got two, but they're both we already answered them. Steezy says, "What was the last game you were hyped about but didn't live up to expectations?" And then
does he know that we're talking about hype?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, he asked a question. Was what particular topic?
Oh, okay.
Swinging right. It. So.
And a plastic video game comic replied to him and said the vice versa, the opposite of that.
Huh.
I don't know. I feel like we kind of talked about these.
We did.
Sorry, guys.
Another one from maybe last year is Lost Planet 2. I was actually pretty excited for that, and it turned out to be a steaming pile of shit that I hated. So.
Character designs in that looked pretty cool. I was kind of interested in the art and the weird, huge things with glowing stuff all over them.
Yeah, they had a lot of potential. They could have turned it into almost like a Monster Hunter type of thing, but they fucked it up.
Yeah, they did a great job of capturing that sense of scale in that game. That's one thing that I think they did well.
Same with God of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you start talking about you're on the ground and then you like grapple onto a creature's back and stand on it and walk around on it and kill it that way, that's pretty cool.
I wish they would make like a proper Monster Hunter game for consoles. I'd really enjoy something like that.
You mean not for the Wii?
yeah, seriously. Or not for a handheld.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have you guys played Monster Hunter before?
I own the PSP one, or I guess the latest PSP one. I tried it, and the controls were so bad I couldn't do anything.
I think that would be my problem with it, too, because it felt a lot like Lost Planet, to be honest. Your character runs at a really annoying pace, kind of too slow for its own good. And then, I don't know, just the movement in general felt way too stiff. You know, they didn't give you really all the options that you would want.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I've been told to try the Wii version, and I think I might sometime.
I hear tons of good stuff about it.
Yeah.
Right on. Anything else floating around? You got any more floaters, Hugh?
No, Steezy asked a question, but it was essentially about hype. So we already—he even said you might have already answered this in the podcast. So,
yeah, nice job, Steezy.
Thank you, Steezy. We love you, buddy.
Yep.
He's just making sure that we cover all the aspects of hype. I appreciate that. Cool. Well, let's put a nail in this bitch.
Yeah. And I'd like to say that your Cara Burnett fun fact of the day is that Cara Burnett was the original owner of the Elephant Man's bones and sold them to Michael Jackson for an undisclosed amount.
Oh, weird.
I want to believe that these are all real.
Why would I lie about them?
We're not going to go down this path again. I want these to be real. I'm not going to research them. And I'm going to spread this lore to people that I know, and then Cara Burnett will become something that maybe she's not.
Hey, did someone's world just end?
Yeah, what was it? Somebody drop a bomb on one of you guys?
Can you guys hear that? It's starting to storm over here.
Nice.
Whoa, what kind of storm do you have?
It could be, hopefully.
Oh, man. Nice.
Come save me.
That's a storm. Miranda. You're telling me that's a storm?
It is a storm.
It sounds like somebody like having a parade outside and like banging on drums.
Yeah, seriously.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Or like a train is knocking at your door.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank y'all for listening very much.
Yeah, see you guys.
Tell your friends.
Bye, everyone.
Don't forget to subscribe and click the follow button.
We can't. There's no way to subscribe. No,
don't do that.
We could try hyping things that don't need hyping.
That would be awesome.
Like pencils. Write it down.
Yeah, yes.
Let's health find
insurance.
Other...
Don't get sick.
If you do, we got you covered.
Get that card so you can go to the doctor.
Oil changes. Yeah.
Oil changes. Your car got to run.
Strain that oil out, bitch.
Library cards. Learn. I'm watching a video of a swan attacking people. It's so good.
Are you trying to get hyped up?
I am a little bit. Swans are fucking bitches.
Yeah,
swans.
True.
Avoid them.
Don't mess with them.
Seriously, when I was in college, there was a bunch of swans because there were some lakes around my college. And they would just run at people. We had one, we called him the Goose Pimp, even though he was a swan. But he the swan with these two female swans. And any time you got near him and near his bitches, he would run at you.
Damn.
It was awesome with his little wings flapping. And a friend of mine kicked him in the head one day.
Oh, Jesus, what?
That was fine. Swans are, they're almost unkillable.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, how did he, like, run up and kick it?
It ran at him, and he just sort of football kicked the fucking thing in the head. And its, like, noodly head went all waggly. Then he corrected himself and was like, and then walked away.
I would give a large sum of money to get, like, a cell phone cam video of that.
It was pretty good. It's super, super illegal. Like, the LSU protects all those fucking animals, but.
Even though they rush at you and attack you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my God. I'm just picturing that, and it's...
It was good.
It's amazing.
I wanted to. I'm not going to lie. They're bastards.
Mm. They are. They're pretty shitty.
Hi.